Buongiorno, everyone. It is that time of the week again, Tuesday night, live at 7 p.m. here from Anarchy Brewery, me and Keg. How are we doing, Pat?
Not bad, mate. Not bad. I'm just checking what number it is. Episode 6 the TMC podcast. I was trying to think of that before. Is it 5? Is it 6? Is it 7? You lose track once it gets past, like, 2. But yeah, we're here. Looking forward to another episode. Episode 6, if I mention that.
Aye. What number was it?
6, just after 5, I think.
My lucky number, 6. Ooh. Born on the 6th of 6.
Oh, yes, you are. I used to have big renty number 6 on you. 2008, 2018.
Never ever a centre back. I was, you know, upside down 6, hey, number
that,
9.
That could be be more of a midfielder these days.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. Growing at that mould now. Shout out to everyone that is listening on audio platforms as well. Remember, if you aren't watching live on YouTube, you can catch us up on Spotify, Apple, and all the other podcast platforms.
All the lovely ones.
All the best ones, all of them. And you can also scan the QR code there in the top right corner if you are watching on YouTube to get yourselves along to warflags.org.uk and get yourselves some Anarchy Brew as well. Some cans of war beer. You know the score by now. We're flashing up to the camera. But you are, if you're listening as well on Spotify, warflags.org.uk, war beer, support war flags, and enjoy a nice drinky poos.
Yeah.
So we've got loads of topics to get through this week. Obviously, we're going to look into the Wolves win, look towards Chelsea at the end of the podcast, and as always, get your questions in for the end of the show. Let's, first of all, though, we're going to touch on some fairly breaking news in the last hour or so. That's from the Times, and that ideally used a photo of Newcastle United. Why did they do that?
Coincidence, that was it? Mm. Just any one of the random 20 teams in the Premier League, or just pick one out of a hat, or just happened to land on Newcastle again.
Oh. Again. Just happened to land on a picture of Castor Sella and Anthony Gordon with a big yellow noon on his sleeve. So the crack is with this, is that the Times are posting Premier League clubs face sanctions for inflated sponsorship deals with associated parties. Updated rules now published. So out of nowhere, coinky-dink. Okay. Yeah, we'll try and stop little old Newcastle breaking into the old top four again, or the big six, however you want to call it, because
we don't want to make up rules.
Like, how many times have they suddenly made up rules or cared about something they've never cared about in the past 25 years?
Points at Newcastle. Like, not trying to point fingers at anyone, but Newcastle's definitely doing things that we don't like. So we'll just make these rules to try and stop them. Not just them, but anybody like them.
Man United with their new ownerships in the Arsenal, I'm sure it's absolutely fine.
It's all by the book.
By the book what they're doing. But the revised rules, which caused a bit of split in the league last month, are tougher aims to block clubs bypassing financial controls by earning unfair amounts. So a lot of people have actually accused Manchester City of doing this in the past with Etihad and all that. But it basically means earning unfair amounts via means such as sponsorship from a company linked to an owner or by signing a player cheaply from another club in the same ownership group. Again, the likes of Man City.
We've already been through this.
Yeah.
This was exactly the same as trying to stop signing from Saudi teams.
Right.
We've already been here. This is just 2.0. It's like Scotland when they try to get that second referendum because they didn't like the first result. So we've literally already been through this. Can we just move on, please?
Yeah.
People voted against this because it's not in everybody's interest to block just Newcastle. Like, yes, we didn't even fucking take advantage of it. We didn't even do anything with it. Like, other teams could have. And like people wanted to stop people buying from Saudi so bad, but we didn't even do anything about it.
No.
It's just people are just trying to make their own ideas. Like, they're just so scared of Newcastle. They're so rattled. They're just so terrified. But they don't even realize we can't even fucking spend our own money.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's bloody rules against it. Like, change the FFP rules, if anything. Stop trying to stop us making money. We can't even spend what we've got.
Uh-huh.
Fucking stop it, man. Just let us live a little. Christ almighty.
The funniest thing to come out of the whole Saudi thing was that I think Newcastle were the one that got the least money for any player that was sold to Saudi.
Right.
Sold St. Maximum for just over 20 million.
Got
and you had these players like everyone else from Liverpool and that, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Players in the 30s going
Fabinho,
for big money.
Henderson, Laporte, Mahrez, like they all went for mad money.
Mental.
Like, I think we undersold St. Maximum.
Oh, I do.
I wanted to be 40, 50 at least.
You look at players like Iwobi who went to bloody Fulham for like, 40 million that. Everton and that. You know what I mean? These players.
Get 20 million for St. Maximum. It's mad.
So the updated Premier League handbook states that the rules seek to ensure the long-term financial sustainability of clubs by extinguishing reliance on enhanced commercial revenues received from entities linked to the club's ownership. It adds that the rules are aimed at fairness amongst clubs, so the clubs cannot derive an unfair advantage over competitors by increasing revenues or reducing costs via arrangements. Basically saying things like the Sella deal, is it really worth the $25 million a year that it is? Is that unfair? Should it be clamped down? Why is this only happening now? That's the thing that's winding me up.
And Noon's a salary company and all, isn't
it? So Noon's obviously paying, what, 7, 8 million a year. Before that, we were getting a couple of million, weren't we, off the tie-off.
Look at others, like, I don't know off the top of my head, but from what we're getting annually from Sella, is that even touching what, like, Liverpool, Chelsea, City, Man United?
Still
like,
the lowest at the top of six top eight clubs.
Like, what are people whinging about, man? For fuck's sake.
That's why I thought it was ridiculous that there was a picture of Newcastle in this article, considering our financial gains were way less than a Villa or a West Ham.
And also, you've got to think, like, they are Saudi companies, so quite clearly they're worth a ton. So to them, it's worth it for them.
Wait, undersold again.
And literally, we have been undersold just because there's these Saudi connections. Like, people think that, oh, well, we're taking the mick, we're getting all these wicked deals because we've got these connections, but we literally could be doing better. Like we're not like head and shoulders above like Man City's Etihad sponsorship or whatever. Like, it's not like, is it? I can't remember who Man United are. They're not Chevrolet anymore. I can't remember who people got sponsored by anymore.
Team Viewer.
Team Viewer. But like, we're not even getting as much as like these other sponsors. So what difference does it make? If we're getting like $1 billion a year from them, then fair enough. It might look a little bit fishy.
Ooh, but dodgy, huh?
It's not. We're not even one of the top six earning teams.
No, it's mad. I don't get it. So speaking of those top six teams, you have, they're saying here the old guard, such as Liverpool, Man U, Arsenal and Spurs, who voted in favour of the new rules, have been outstripped by Man City in terms of commercial income. City sponsorship deals for 22-23 were worth 13.6 times more than they were at the time of the Abu Dhabi takeover in 2008. So they're really trying to piece that thing, but it's how you're viewing that article. That's nearly 20 years ago. You know, that's 16 years ago, growing from 25 million to 340 million. And considering in that amount of time, City are basically the best team in the world with Pep Guardiola and winning trebles and that. So obviously it is going to go up from 2008 when there were Sven Goran Eriksson and Ben Johnny.
Yeah, should we just take it back to 1992? Will we?
Sean Gota. So listen, it just seems like it's a way of...
It's just the way the world's going.
Keep the big six together, isn't it?
It's inflation. It's just the world. Like, it's not like anything anybody's doing anything about it purposely to raise money for other teams or whatever. Like, it's just politics, basically. Aye. It's just literally the way the world's working. Like, everything's a lot more expensive now than it was in 2008. Yep. So things need to be refreshed and revised to accommodate.
Are you got like British gas or what? Not paying for that thing. I mean, through the roof. I'm talking about inflation. Can we get back to 2008 electricity prices, please?
That'd be nice. I love it.
All right, then, Aaron's in the chat as always. Shout out, Aaron. Happened before. This would never happen before. It's like absolutely ridiculous maintaining the top six days.
No one would give a shit about Fun 8 Ace. Like, ooh, Newcastle getting all these Chinese sponsors. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're only getting like 2 million off them anyway. It's propistic. It was shit deal.
Well, exactly. It was all right, that, though. Why was there no investigation about getting ripped off? Oh, it's all about, oh, you're too much. But when was it when it was too little?
Newcastle getting ripped off. I used to be an investigation into this. Newcastle's getting done over.
What about the past 20 years of sponsors? Sports Direct everywhere for free. Anyone care about that, did they? David St. Aston Villa post loss of 119 today. Don't give up on Champions League yet. Points deduction coming in. That'd be nice. Absolutely here for that. If Villa lost points because of FFP, that would help a certain Manchester club. A coincidence, I'm sure. Again, helping the big six again.
But that's not coincidence, though. Didn't put them picture on a thumbnail.
No, there's none of them. Good afternoon, Kevin from Lakeland, Florida.
Happy birthday, Kevin.
On Sunday, Eddie's got a question. We'll just jump in and doing the chat now. Let's get out of the way, because we'll get lost in the wilderness. Do you think there was a good time for Bruno to take the 10th yellow? I can't believe you said that. I literally can't believe it.
I feel like Bruno's one of them players that just gets yellow cards. It's just, you can put that on your accumulator. Just think like one of them bet builders. Bruno, yellow card, almost guaranteed. And how many games has he got now? Must be nearly 10 games.
When's it reset? Is it the actual break? He's not far off reset, so, surely, is he?
Oh, but we've paid that off. One of these sponsorships would have paid the Premier League. Given Brooke Bruno. Dodgy cunt.
But a good time for him to get one. Well, now Willock's back is obviously a lot better than it was previously. Anderson's obviously on his way back. So who we got next? Chelsea away and then a couple of home games. So get through Chelsea and then let's just hope we can get through. At the minute, he doesn't know he's going to get one.
Until it's rescinded, then I just get to that point if possible. Just whenever. Like, I'm surprised he hasn't just already, like, kind of took it. Like, I'm surprised that he hasn't had one. but he's been like very, very well disciplined to not get one. Yeah, like,
it's very smart.
If he just got one just for, I don't know, pulling a shirt back on like a counter attack or something, then just whatever. Like, yeah, you miss the next game, just fuck it, Atari, man.
Such a clever player, though, man. Like, the way he just maneuvers around the ball, little nutmeg, yeah, puts his body in front of the player, draws the foul, so good.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Longstaff's form? Been poor for a while, playing for his future, turning on in Big Joe back. Think he's lacking confidence. I've said it for a while, you know, you don't want to throw a shade on any players, especially Jordy. But for me, he's just a squad player or sell him if he can get a fee. He's not quite good enough where we want to be for me. Like,
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm on a bit of a strange standpoint. Like, in on one hand, I agree, but there's a part of us also sort of disagrees with that, because at the back end of last season, when everyone got injured, like, he was really like instrumental for us. Like, I thought he played really, really well, helped us get into the top four at the back end of the season. Like, yeah, Willocks and people got injured. And he even missed a few games. And I think we dropped a few points when he wasn't there. And at the start of this season, when Tenali brought in, went through some bad form and we hit good form when he came back. Like, it seemed like, although we spent 60 million on this sexy new Italian midfielder, what we were really missing was Sean Longstaff.
Yeah, I remember when everyone was saying we're missing balance.
I don't agree that he's not good enough or a squad player. I think inevitably with the growth of Newcastle in the next 2 years, 3 years max, he will be. I'm sure he's a good player to have around because he has got that kind of underrated qualities. And I'm sure we're probably going to sign more midfielders as well, probably that number six role to help Bruno push forward, in which case that'll be his role knocked down when Tonali comes back. Like, yeah, he will end up being a squad player, but I feel like in the here and now, he's just on bad form, but I think he's underrated. Like, he's just, I think we mentioned him a few weeks ago, I think when Jolly Rick was here, like, he's just one of them underrated players. Like, he doesn't do nothing extremely well. He's not like a proper sexy player. Like, no one gets excited. I don't even think I've seen anyone with his shirt printed on the back, but he's just one of them players that you kind of need. Like, he just helps the team tick along, like, quietly. Like I say, he doesn't do nothing sexy. He's not a tremendous player, but the team just kind of fits a bit smoother when he's there, minus the last few weeks, because, yeah, he has been a bit shit.
He has been really shit the last few weeks. Yeah. But I hear what you're saying then. At times, he has been pivotal. And listen, he scored some big goals now, like especially last year, Carabao Cup quarter, semis and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm not saying I wouldn't get rid of him unless you got, like, a really good offer for him for FFP reasons.
Well, yeah. But, I suppose if you're going to get, like, whatever Man United are offering, like, if you're going to get, like, 25, 30 million from them, I'll pack your bags to you later. I'd quite happily keep him around. Like I say, even in 2-3 years' time, once we've got one number six, Tonali's back, and he probably started to add a bit more, he'd probably end up finding himself down the pecking order. But at least he's a player to have in the pecking order. I think sometimes you need squad rotation is drastically underrated. I think especially if we're going to go back into the Champions League, you've seen how shallow our team can be. Like, if we get a couple of injuries and suspensions and Sean comes in for a run of a few games, it's not the worst thing in the world, you know what I mean? Like, if we've got better players than him, then yeah, exactly, he's more than capable of filling in a role for a few weeks if need be. So yeah, I'd keep him around for as long as possible, like I said, just for that squad depth further down the line when the club starts to develop.
OG Foxy and Anderson is going to do grand things. Obviously, he's come back now.
It's such a shame that he hasn't had much game time, because, like, with Miley, like, we wanted to get Miley out on loan. I think we even considered putting Anderson out on loan as well, but I think Anderson showed last season just how good he is, that people will call him like Jordy Maradona. It was on the tip of my tongue there to say the Jordy Gazza, but I thought,
2.0.
That doesn't sound right. Jordy Maradona.
Jordy Gazza Jr.
But imagine, like, with all the game time Miley's had, if Anderson wasn't injured, this could have been his opportunity to step up. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm glad for Miley, because he has stepped up and he's looked amazing as a 17-year-old.
I think he's the best.
Playing all the Champions League games and everything, he's looked class. But if we had Anderson there as well, and we had Miley as an option off the bench, then imagine what Anderson could have done this year, man. Like, there could have been such an opportunity for him to get a run of games.
It would have, especially with all the with all the injuries and Tonali's suspension and that.
Yeah.
But I think Miley's just been unbelievable. And I think he coming through has kind of shown that in his breakthrough season at 17, he's already shown for me that he's way better than Sean Longstaff. And Longstaff's been around for years.
True.
So that's the thing where it's probably not going to bode well for Longstaff in that sense. Like, Miley is some player. Malcolm, love me hoodie. Matty, cheers. Nice one, Martin. Thanks for supporting the channel. There is, I think, two left on the magpiechannel.com. The hat that Keg is lovely modelling tonight is completely sold out forever until next winter. And there's a couple of hoodies, a couple of t-shirts, and that is it left.
Just get them while they're here.
Very much to everyone that has bought one. I definitely get them while they're here. Aaron is saying he's heard a link with that. Edison definitely have been. Nixon's been raving about him. Nixon's been watching him week in, week out. Newcastle have sent scouts to Serie A to be watching Edison, another Brazilian, another number six. Yeah. Bit of a duel in them, but even more defensive. So would really free up Bruno and Tonali. So that would be a quality signing, I think. And one that looks like it could definitely be happening this summer.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Okay, then. Let's get into the topics at hand then. And we'll get back to your questions. Keep them coming in the chat as well. And those that are watching back, please do leave your comments and we'll reach out after the show's finished. Wolves 0, Newcastle 3. That was lovely, wasn't it?
That was very nice. Very, very nice. I enjoyed that one.
All right, back to our best. Identity's back.
It's good to get a good performance, but also like emphatic result as well. Like, because it can be a tricky team, Wolves. We haven't had a lot of success against Wolves in the past. Like 1-1 has been the consistent scoreline against Wolves, home and away, since 2018. But just to get past a tricky opposition emphatically when we have just been a bit stuck for what seems like months now. Like now we've had like a few results, like it's not been all bad. Like we have had a few good results, but it just hasn't lasted, does it? Like you get like January when we beat Sunderland, Fulham, and someone else. I can't remember, but was it Villa?
Might have been, or Forest.
Yeah, we went on a bit of a decent run anyway. We thought, we're back now, but it didn't really last, did it?
No.
To get a win like this, hopefully, this is a kickstart of something good. But I think just to beat a tricky team so well and perform so well, it's not even like a scrappy 3-0. Like, it's not like we didn't deserve our goals. Like, we played well all ends of the field. So, I'm really, really happy with that.
Unbelievable stuff, really. And you mentioned, obviously, other teams who have got results, like Villa and that. But for me, that was like, our performance was back. That was the Eddie Howe style. That was the philosophy. That was the intensity as our identity. You know, the press. But then again, we mixed it up a bit because we did sit a bit deeper. We did give Wolves a bit more of the ball sometimes and we did just hit them on the break. And it worked so well because the two goals early on came from the break.
Yeah.
Came from the wings again. But obviously, the main man we've got to mention who seems to have made the impact and the change was Joe Willock, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is he the missing piece to kickstart Newcastle's last 10, 11 games of the season? Get one to Europe?
Potentially, but you've also got to think like it's like 1-1 out. Like there's just still no squad depth really. Like the whole squad in general is sort of getting there with like Barnes has been back and other players like defensively, just midfield. Anderson, like I think he'll still take a good few weeks to get back to full match fitness. But it's like Joe Linton went out and Wilkes came in, so we've got Miley there, so we are one up, I suppose. But I just hope he can last because he has been a little bit injury prone. Like we mentioned a few weeks ago about like he came back against Man United, scored a great goal, and we thought he was back, and then straight away he was injured again for a couple of months. So just fingers crossed, touch wood,
that
he's he is fit and he's going to stay fit, because I think when someone's injured for such a long period of time, they can kind of get forgotten about, they can kind of get like swept under the carpet a little bit and just completely forget how good they are. So Willock's a baller, and he always has been, even like from the 6 month loan where he pretty much one-handedly kept up.
Literally.
So he's a class player, class act. I think he's very, very underrated. I think he's got a lot about him as a midfielder. He's got a lot of pace. I think he's got underrated pace. Like, he's very, very quick. Good on the ball, can score a goal, good pass. So I think it's a good thing. Like you mentioned Miley, how good he is, how great he's been. It's been his breakout year. But for a 17-year-old, I just want to wrap him in cotton wool a little bit. Like I don't want him playing this much. Like he's played so much since October, September, something like that. Like, he's played so many games a season for such a kid. Just get him back on the bench, just sort of level Miley out a little bit and get someone with the quality and a little bit more experience. Like he's still 24. He's still young himself, Willock. I think the team does run a little bit more smoothly with Willock and I.
It's just that driving forward for me as well, man.
He's dangerous when he's on the ball.
Just bring his defenders towards him, frees up space for he's actually going to make something happen himself. He's just he's a real, real player in the middle of the park, and it is that energy and is that drive that we miss so much for me. Like and it's not just going forward, it's going backwards as well. You help people out. I think again, he's doing a bit like what Joe Linton does, where he makes Dan Burn look better. He makes players around him look better.
Yeah.
He helps them out more.
Yeah.
Gives them a bit of an easier time. There's times in that game when Neto and the other Wolves players were getting forward, Bain was a bit on the back burner, and then Willock will come down and help him out. Willock will come down and give an option, block the path. So he does offer a lot. Like, it's just the key is got to stay fit, man, hasn't he? Got to stay fit, because I was there at Old Trafford where he made that comeback October, whenever it was, scored the goal, and then he's out for months again. So I really hope he can just stay fit for the remainder of the season and then get a good pre-season under his belt. He'd be a valuable asset next year. Like.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that you mentioned the drive, because thinking about it, like, I don't really know who offers what he does, because Joe Linton can, but he's a bit more of just like a shithouse.
Robust.
So can Longstaff and Miley. Bruno's just a bit more holding, like receives the pass and like passes it about a little bit. But in terms of like picking up the ball like in our half and driving it into the final thirds, like, I don't really think anyone does that quite like Willock does in our midfield. No. And it is such like an important thing to do. Just get in the final third. There's no point just passing it about, like short passes, like around like the centre circle. Like, get in the final third. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, that's what Willock's good at. And like, that's kind of why sometimes he played out on like the left wing, like when we needed someone in that position, like him and
really good
Joe there, Linton sort of rotated. But now, like that left-hand side of the midfield three, like they say, where, cause I think three totally contrasting players really works for a midfield. I think having too many players similar just doesn't work. Aye. So you've got like your Joe Linton who can drive, your Bruno who can sit, and then your like your Longstaff who can just kind of do the dirty work, who can sort of do a little bit of both. Like, I like that. I like that dynamic, having two players in a midfield three that are just like the exact same stamp. It's fucking pointless. I think like having like three different types of players opens up the team a little bit. Like I say, like Bruno can just sit back and Willock can go forward and join in the attack, try and get a goal or just pass it short around the box or something like that. Like, yeah, I like that play. So, yeah, I think Willock does offer a hell of a lot to this team.
That's why I think the three in midfield does work. Obviously, worked last season and everyone's screaming, oh, we need number six, we need to protect the back four. We didn't need that last year when we got Champions League.
True.
This year when we've tried to do it, though, the personnel hasn't been there.
No.
Because if Jolinton's been missing, obviously Tonali's been missing, if Willock's been out the whole time. So you need the Willock, you need that type of player to allow that system to flourish, really. And I think that's why we've seen our best performance in a long time in that first half against Wolves.
Yeah. I do still think, personally, I've always wanted like a proper good number six. Like a proper,
same, I still
like,
want that.
Kante, Makalele type that'll just sit and sweep up. And I think that, like, obviously it'll allow your Willocks to bomb forward, but I think it'll also free up Bruno, who is good at sitting, but I think he's also a different type of contrast player who can do both. Like, he can help out at the back, he can sit back when need to, but he's also that kind of silky player who can just operate on like the edge of like the final third and just look for them like passes into Almiron or Miggy, or then cut in, shoot, put a cross in, whatever.
Yeah,
while Willock does that. So again, like that is a different contrast, but yeah, that like personnel wise, as you said, that number six just holder, like a solid holder, we haven't got. So I just don't think we can operate fine. Like I say, we got top four last season without one.
Yeah.
But I do just think the team could tick over a little bit better if we did have that proper solid like DM.
I think so as well. And I think that's why obviously we are being linked with that Edison from Atlanta and stuff. So it would make sense getting one in, I suppose. But what was much better on the weekend for the first time in as long as I can remember is having options off the bench.
Yeah.
Options off the bench. If I read you out the subs now, it makes a difference from teenagers and three keepers. That's been there most of the season.
Yeah.
So on Saturday against Wolves, that 3-0 win, Karius, obviously one goalkeeper. One, that's all you need.
That's all you need.
Don't even need that most of the time.
High five on. Why
don't
not?
Need that most of the time.
Something like that. Just high one on the right wing.
Jamal Lascelles, Kraft, Hall, Livramento, who we'll get onto soon as well. He scored his first goal for the club.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Harvey Barnes, Almiron, Anderson and Miley as the options. Obviously,
we're much better.
Hopefully, you'd replace probably a Kraft there with a Wilson with a striker would be nice.
Oh, God.
And then you're pretty much set.
Yeah.
Because you've got a striker that can come on. You've got a couple of wingers that can come on. You've got a midfielder that can come on in Anderson, Miley.
Yeah.
Someone gets injured at the back, Shaw, Lascelles can slot in, no bother. So, you know what I mean? The Remember, we've seen him come on for Trippier when he got injured. So that bench, that difference. Because you could see the first half was blistering. Brilliant performance. Mm-hmm. Kind of gave Wolves a bit of a eye back into it. Bravka made one or two saves 50, 60 minutes in. And then we make the subs and then we take control of the game again.
Yeah,
Fresh legs, take control of the game. We haven't been able to do that for months on end.
No.
And that's why we've conceded so many late goals, in my opinion.
Because you also think back to like like PSG away, Chelsea away.
Imagine if you could have brought on his two or three.
Even when you've got like midweek games and a weekend game, like Eddie just wasn't making substitutes because you've either got three goalkeepers or three fucking 9-year-olds. It's just knee options. You get to like the 90th minute, we still haven't made a sub. Like, Eddie, we've got a game on Saturday. Take someone off.
But he's got fucking history in the morning, man. School in the morning.
Someone needs to get some fresh legs for the weekend, but. I say, having that option, like, it does make the squad in general, as I mentioned before, how underrated and valuable squad depth is. Like, I probably say this every single week, but I might get a tattooed. Like, you're not gonna win that with 11 players. Like, squad depth is so important, and that's why this team is still nowhere near ready to compete in the Champions League.
No,
because I think Eddie Howe's improved the team, because I still like half the team that Steve Bruce has had is still there, and he's like. It's way better than what it was. But like I said, when we get a few injuries, when we get like Tonali's out and like your Joe Linton's and stuff, like we struggle, like we'll put a scrape at the bottom of the barrel. And like, I'm not saying Miley was scraping at the bottom of the barrel, but he's 17.
Yeah.
And we've relied on for months on end, and we shouldn't have to do that. We're fucking Newcastle United. We're the richest team in the world.
Can't spend it though.
But we can't spend this. Like, that's not what I mean. And that's what I was kind of getting on about like Longstaff before. Like, he's brilliant squad depth. If in 2-3 years' time, he could literally be the worst player on our squad, but you can still rely on him to step in if like other players are injured or suspended or whatever. Like, that's the dream. Like, you want players as good as Longstaff and Miley and Anderson to be your worst players.
Yeah.
Like, how good of a squad is it if they're like your bottom of the barrel team players instead of like your Ben Parkinson's and your Amad Diallo's and Joe White's and
Travis Scott that was on the bench the other
Mark Gillespie and Karius and Gillespie and Bloody Dubravka and everyone else. But it just makes you feel more comfortable, doesn't it? Like, you know, like Eddie can make changes and find like fresh legs and make a change to the team.
Yeah. Eddie's asking here, with Tonali back next season, would he consider loaning out Louis May to continue his growth in case he doesn't get game time? Or do you think you'll get enough time with us? I don't think you'll go out and loan ever again. Nah, to be honest, like you mentioned before, he was close. But Eddie Howe's seen him in America and that preseason tour and thought, I've got to keep hold of him. Like,
it's good a job it did. Point. It is a really, really good job that we did, obviously, because we'd be absolutely Donald Duck without him. But if Tonali comes back and we re-sign, we extend Joe Linton and we sign someone like Ederson,
yeah,
he is going to be kind of down there. And he is 17, and I say like he needs time. There's no point throwing him at the deep end. So maybe a good loan, like to maybe like a struggle in Premier League to a good Championship team, might be good for his development. I wouldn't be mad at him going out on loan, to be honest. Like, but only if like we've got the depth to do it.
No.
So yeah, like. Because he is the future of the club. He's 17. I'm sure he just turned 17 at the beginning of the season, didn't he? Like, he's so young, man. Like, yeah, he's the future of the club. He's going nowhere. But I do agree that a loan might be worthwhile if we do improve the squad depth in the summer.
I think it would have to be Premier League as well. There's no point in dropping him down to go and play a Coventry.
If the team pushing for promotion in the Championship, that would be me flaw.
Aye. Maybe obviously Leicester could make come up. That would be an arrogant move for him.
Like a Leicester, a Leeds, someone like that. Like someone like that you know is going to be fighting for promotion in the Championship to a team that's anywhere sort of bottom half Premier League.
At the minute, I would keep him and then hope that he can still get involved.
Yeah, yeah. Give him the full preseason.
Keep him for the cup game as well. Hopefully we'll get Europa or a Conference League. Keep him for those games and then see it, maybe assess it in January how many minutes he's gotten and then maybe give him 6 months away. So something like that would be good. But star of the show, arguably, amongst it again, was Anthony Gordon. Yeah. Among the goals, again, double figures for him this season in all competitions. Absolutely flying. He was such a threat the whole game. Did well to nip in and get his goal. Mm-hmm. International break is unfortunate in a couple of weeks' time. Snooze fest.
Buzzing. Absolutely class.
Gareth Southgate is going to announce his England squad for the games against Brazil and Italy, is it? Someone else?
I don't care.
You won't care. You won't care at all. Big fan of the Three Lions, this guy.
I'll wait with bated breath for that.
I ain't be staying upset you long for that one. Southgate's squad will be announced on Thursday. Question number one, part of a two-part question.
Probably no to both answers, but go ahead anyway.
Well, I think the first one could be different. Never know. Should he be in the England squad?
Yes.
Will he be in the England squad?
No.
There we go then. Yes and no. Yeah, I think I'm on the same stance as that, really. I mean, it's absolutely
insane. Who else has been better than him recently? Like, this is why I don't like England, because as long as I can remember, people always talk about form. Teams should be picked on form. When has it ever been picked on form? You can go back to the Glenn Hoddle days, your Sven Goran Eriksson days. It's never been picked on form. It's always whatever players that the manager likes, and especially with Gareth Southgate, he knows his players. He knows he's Rashford, he's Jordan Henderson.
They didn't tell me Jordan Henderson's going to get picked. You see him last season celebrating a throw-in for Ajax at 33 years old.
But Harry Maguire's, it's just the same shit, and that's why I don't care. I couldn't give a shit about England.
Boycott.
Especially in friendlies. Obviously, in major tournaments, I'm fully behind the lads. I love major tournaments, but friendlies, I couldn't care less. Seriously, seriously couldn't, because it's just same old shit.
Aye.
So, in form for left wingers.
Make brilliant point by Aaron here, just because Rashford scored from outside the box in the derby. That means he's getting picked. Yeah. So true, he's been shaped for months.
You wouldn't have had to. We could have blazed that into Rose Ed. You'd probably still be going. That's why I don't care. I think in terms of form, left wingers, he's got to be number one, number two in the league. I can't think of anyone else. If the top three, he's without doubt in the top three.
He's got
to be, man. I just can't think who's better than him at the minute.
No.
Especially on recent form.
Obviously trying to pick up Eze at the minute because he scored a free kick because he is a good player, but he's been injured a lot.
He's been picked for England as well, though. So injuries exactly. Mean now
to Southgate Palace. He's more likely to pick an injured Eze than a fully fit Gordon that's been scored.
Eze and Rashford have more chance than Gordon.
And then obviously Cole Palmer. He loves Cole Palmer, Alden.
True.
He's been crap. He's been crap the last few weeks now. Missed a set the other day.
But does he play more left, though?
He goes from the left to the number 10 now, doesn't he? But I just think it's absolutely insane and abysmal that he doesn't pick the best players. Just for Gordon's sake, as Anthony Gordon, he said himself that it's his desire and he would love to play for England, obviously.
Yeah.
And he just deserves it. And that's the thing I get. That's where what winds me up is that he deserves it, so he should get it.
I think it's
so unjust from Southgate to not pick him on form, on everything, all season long. He deserves to be in that team and give himself a chance, because that's what will be motivating Anthony Gordon as well.
Yeah.
It really will for that place in the plane of the Euros.
I've also got another sort of preference / theory / being an old boring cunt. That while I want the players to get what they want out of their careers, obviously everyone wants to play for your country. That's everybody's dream. You want to play for England. If you're an England national, not if you're Spanish or not. if you're English, growing up as a kid, me when I was 6 years old, I wanted to play for England. I wanted to play for Wembley. I wanted the three lines on my chest.
Southgate ruined all your trails, didn't it?
You never pick me, Southgate.
You should like England kits, and I used to wear them. You used to wear them with pride.
But selfishly, I don't want Newcastle players playing
for that's what I was just clubs. About getting him.
I couldn't care less.
No.
I feel bad for him because he deserves it. That's why I don't like England anymore, because players that deserve it aren't going. But yeah, selfishly, I didn't want any English players going, because I don't want them getting injured. We've had such a bad run of luck of injuries all season long that keep them away. I'm more than happy. Eze, please. Rashford, please. I couldn't give a fuck. Obviously Wilson and Pope aren't going to be going.
Nah.
Brilliant. They've not got Trippier. He seemed to have got a bit of a knock the other day. Hopefully Trippier's not going. Just stay home, relax, get ready for the next round of fixtures. Anyone else? Bruno, Joe Linton, Shaw, Dubravka, Kraft, Isaac. Couldn't give a fuck.
Yeah, because I was just about to say, that's from a selfish point of view.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm happy that Southgate's an idiot and doesn't call him up. I'll take that all day long. I really will.
Absolutely. But sorry, Anthony. Sorry for spoiling your dreams, Gordy.
But we need you here. We need you here. To be fair, I wouldn't mind him going to the Euros, because you'd hope he wouldn't get an injury. He probably would and be out for the season. But, what would be nice is if he did get that chance to go to the Euros, when obviously Newcastle aren't going to be playing anyways.
Yeah.
Newcastle aren't going to be playing, so hopefully...
That
would be fine. But for a fact, if he went in 2 weeks' time to play a pointless friendly against Brazil, he'd probably break his leg and be able to name
him. Exactly. That's why I've more enjoyed the actual competitive tournaments, like they're meant. And you want the best players to be playing. That's when I'll get really, really pissed off if he's not going. But right now, A, I couldn't give a fuck about England. And B, I couldn't really give a fuck about Newcastle players playing for England. So... yeah, in the right now, I hope he's not in the team, despite him deserving it. Come the Euros, I will be pissed off if he's not on the plane.
So is it just down to Southgate then? So when he leaves this summer, as he's meant to, his contract runs out this summer. If that does happen, will you fall back in love with England again?
Probably not.
Probably not.
No.
That's chipsy, isn't it?
It just depends on what happens. If it's enjoyable, like even friendlies, like that's probably why I just don't really enjoy friendlies, because it's just boring. Like, we don't even play well. Because it is just Southgate's mates. It's just like your Pickfords, your Hendersons, your Maguires. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Let's see if someone else comes in, the new manager.
We'll scrape like a 1-0 against Macedonia or something. Like, I've got better things to do on a Wednesday night, you know what I mean?
Hey, come to the brewery.
Exactly. I couldn't give a shit about watching with like scrape a 1-0 win against the Macedonia. Czechoslovakia or whatever, even though we're not a country anymore. But yeah, hopefully, like, yeah, I do want to fall in love again with England. Like, I always used to. Like, obviously, that my country, that my team. I love them just as much as Newcastle. But
it sounds like it.
Well, not right now. Like, I did growing up. But like Southgate, he is just a boring man. And he is,
I think a lot of people feel the same. I think a lot of people in the North, Newcastle fans, and that feel the same, where they're not as connected to London. As England as, you know, your London fans.
True,
or
obviously, other than we have got a game at St. James's coming up. But
I've got tickets for it.
It's just always in it's just always in London. It's just always like a mission away.
Well, exactly. See, times are changing, hopefully. Times are changing. So. We'll get into the new St. James Park stuff in just a minute, because obviously I did a video yesterday on a potential new site. So we'll get your thoughts on that in a minute, Keg, and drop yours in the comments as well on the live chat. But let's dive into how that Wolves result saw the table lie. Then big win, because obviously we then overtook Wolves again after they came above us in the last round of fixtures. So now Newcastle United are in 8th place, isn't it?
Yes.
Very, very tight, because West Ham got a late winner on the weekend away to Everton. So Newcastle are in 8th on 40 points. Wolves are we'll do from the 10th. Wolves are in 10th, 38 points. Brighton, 39 points. Newcastle, 40 points. West Ham, 42 points. And in 6th place, Manchester United on 44 points. You'd assume that 5th place Spurs on 50 points is too much of an ask. 10 points now, and they've got a game in hand. So if you're looking at that, 4 points off 6, and we do have Man U away to play still. It's looking good, isn't it?
And Chelsea's just out with that as well. Chelsea's
11, so it's important to get a result against them on Monday night, which we'll touch on soon, because if they won, they would only be 1 point off us. So it's that group of five, six teams there is so tight, isn't it?
For them
European places.
It's interesting. It's kind of what you want as a neutral. Being slap bang in the middle of it, it's no good. It's no good for your blood pressure. But yeah, it does make it interesting, and that's why we need to start to get going on a good run of form. Like I say, Chelsea in 11th is a brilliant place to start. Yep. Get on the back of that Wolves win, who are 10th, like I say. So yeah, beating 10th and 11th is massive. Then hopefully we can beat Man United, and yeah, hopefully we should be flying. But it's close and it's interesting, and we're getting towards the final third of the season, and it's exciting.
It is
definitely interesting. But yeah, we just need to start hitting form, man.
I would do. I'm glad we got back to winning ways at home, because we have got some big games at home. I think probably the toughest game we've got left is Tottenham at home, and after that though, there's really really no games at home.
Yeah,
but West Ham on a lunchtime kickoff. That's a team against us at the end of the month.
Well, there are a couple of decent games to have, like especially at home. I always fancy ourselves. Like Spurs, we fucking 7-1 or something.
Five minutes.
Right. So I don't fear Spurs at home. Away is a different question, but in West Ham, more than beatable. Although they're having a good year, like we can beat anyone in that. Like
I think we'll win at Old Trafford again.
But like from fourth down, especially at home, I fancy ourselves against absolutely anyone.
Yeah, literally. I think it's going to be
away. We can scrape out results. That's right.
No, well, away form has been better than the home form lately.
Yeah,
I think it's looking good now. Like I tell you, that Wolves win was pivotal, like to keep us in the mix. And where we are now, 11 games to go. It looks like it probably is going to go down to the wire. But if I had to call it, I said even before the season started, I called that we'd finish 7th, and that is still looking really good. But who knows? Even 6th, and then that would be Europa League, but. Any form of European football this season, after the season we've had, is a success for me. Like,
yeah, absolutely. I think it should be. I think that it should be the aim. And I don't really care for the Champions League, Europa League, Conference League debate, like say, as long as it's European football. And it's a bit of a weird one this year and all, because I think it obviously there's that sort of knockdown rule where someone in 5th can get Champions League, which will knock it down again. And then you could also maybe knock it down again, depending on the FA Cup final and all this mad shit. So I don't even know the rules anymore. Like we could still get it in 8th right now. I don't know. But Yeah, like I think as long as we still get European football, I don't really care. Like as I said before, I think particularly with our squad depth and our inability to buy players, I think Champions League's a bite of the cherry too far for me. Like, you know, although we're doing ourselves proud and we could have finished second in that group and got it to the knockout stages, it is a challenge, a massive, massive, tough challenge. So I'd embrace the Europa League. I feel like that's the team that we are right now. I feel like that's our perfect sort of level to then push on. If we've got Conference League, it's a bit of a shit tournament in us, but you take it because it's Europe. So yeah, it's still Thursday night away days. And yeah, it's still interesting, still exciting, and still a trophy that we could win. Okay. Europa League, Europa League will be a massive challenge. But West Ham were shite last season. Where'd they finish in the league? They were like
bottom. A relegation battle, weren't they?
Yeah, they were close to the bottom and still won that Conference League. Mm-hmm. So, but there's decent teams in it, like Roma's, Lazio's, Fiorentina's, like decent teams that are still beatable. Like we beat PSG 4-1. Like we can beat anyone. Like we can beat West Ham's, like the winners of it last year. So Conference League would be exciting, a bit boring because there's not that many good teams apart from them few that I've just mentioned. But it's exciting because it's still like a major European competition that we could win and probably be favourites. Europa League, I'd be really excited for because that's a really, really good tournament, just below the Champions League level. But still really, really good teams. And you got like the third place knockout teams from the Champions League coming down into the knockout stages.
Not anymore. Not from next year.
Has it not?
Well, you talk about
getting confused. To be fair, I agree with that. I didn't know that, so I'm pleased you mentioned it. But that's another thing that I've never agreed with because I'd feel sorry for Europa League teams.
It's harsh, isn't it? Because they're automatically made whoever got relegated the favourite, didn't they? Oh, they got the Champions League, so they should win it.
I've always hated that rule, so I'm buzzing that it's getting kicked out.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so I think if you're if you're lucky to be in the Europa League, like if you're a team from Estonia who are absolutely buzzing to be in the Europa League, you get through, you finish second in the group, you qualify, and then you get like Liverpool in the knockout round because they finished third in the Champions League. Like, how is that fair? That doesn't make any sense.
They'll enjoy it, but they're going to get absolutely bad.
I think if you finish third in the Champions League, you're out. Sorry. Aye. That's nobody's problem but your own.
Well, next year it's a madness, isn't it? The new format is a league, isn't it? That group stages is gone. So now it's like the top six teams are playing, and then the bottom eight get relegated and go, and then it's mad anymore. How confusing. Well, that's for a whole new video. It's a big old format where the teams play each other in a league style, and then it goes into the usual knockout phases, but it's very confusing.
Yeah.
We'll be here all night trying to explain it.
Because they keep wanting to do new things. It's like that Europa, what was it, the Super League thing?
This is
like,
essentially a Super League format.
So they're going for adamant on changing things, something that's worked so successfully for years. Literally like 100 years, this shit's worked. And it's like one of like the biggest competitions in the world. And like that's just so adamant to change it.
Well,
like,
these rich twats are just sitting around a table going, no, but I do. Thinking, oh, we're getting paid billions here. We should probably think of something new.
I get the one to sort of freshen things up, but when something works, why change it?
Nah, exactly. I don't get it. We mentioned the other Conference League, which at the minute was where Newcastle would be next year.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the knockout stages now. You mentioned that, you know, there is some muck. There is some crap teams in that at the start. But now that we're in the knockout stages, what a game this is on Thursday night. Ajax Villa.
That's a good
big
game.
Big teams.
Yeah.
Olympiacos are in there. Lille, not bad.
Lille's a good team.
Fiorentina.
Mm-hmm.
Fenerbahce. So, you know, there is still some tough teams in there. And then,
well, out of them, out of the others, you'd really fancy yourself. Right, so you got Dynamo Zagreb.
I've never even Storm Grads. Strum, started with SK Puntagamer.
Strum Grads, Molde, Club Bruges.
Okay, Salonika.
Yeah, Servette.
Who the hell is Servette?
Pilsen.
Where are they from?
Switzerland.
Switzerland.
That's beatable teams. And like you got like your Ajaxes, like Villa's a good team, and yeah, Fiorentina. So it's a tough competition.
Aye.
And who did was it Fiorentina in the final last season against West Ham? Who did they play?
I was one of
Fiorentina. Yeah. Like they're a decent team, like you say, Roma's and Lazio's and things like that. Like decent teams and it's good competition. So if we're in it, then crack on.
Roma Leicester was a fixture in the Conference League. She's pasty a couple of seasons ago, when obviously George's Roma went on to win it. And but this is perfect where you're on about the Europa League. I think that's the exact level we want to be at now.
Yeah,
to test ourselves, because even though we beat PSG. And, you know, we give a good account of ourselves at San Siro against Milan, got a point. This is like our mix for me, because if you look at the games on Thursday night in the Europa League, you've got Roma, Brighton, Bayer Leverkusen are in there, obviously unbeaten.
Bayer Leverkusen,
Sparta Prague, Liverpool, what a trip that is for AJT on Thursday night. He's going there. Benfica Rangers,
Marseille Villarreal. That's a good game.
AC Milan, that could have been us. We could have been
AC Milan against Slavia Prague, Freiburg, West Ham.
So those are the teams. That's the mix you want.
It's good, like, isn't it?
That's the mix you want. Because obviously tonight, you've got some Champions League games, which could have also been us. I do believe we would have been at home. We would have been away to Real Sociedad tonight if we had got that.
Nice.
PSG away to Sociedad.
That'd be a good draw. I'd fancy myself against Sociedad, exactly. You know.
So we're fucking going through. We could have been in the quarters along with that. And Bayern Munich, Lazio should be a tasty game as well.
Like it's PSG that's got Sociedad. We beat them 4-1 at home and got robbed with a 1-1 draw away.
Well, exactly.
Like, we could do Sociedad.
Tells me it. Could have been us.
Could have been the quarterfinals of the Champions League. But robbed, but
the European race is still on. We'll get out. We're not still better about it. The European race is still on, and let's hope we get some European action next year.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I did a video last night on the possible site at the arena, Utilita Arena, for the St. James Park new stadium. That's been talked about from the Telegraph, saying that the Newcastle owners are indeed aiming. Ooh, what's that? Who's cracked up there? Warbia. Lovely stuff.
You cracked yours open, didn't
you?
Oh,
I've cracked mine open.
I was going to say, I need to catch up. I wasn't going to.
So I did the video last night at the arena site where there's loads of land there. That's a possible relocation.
There's security there, is there?
There's some security there, telling me to get the hell off the property. That's one site. The other site is Castle Leezers, just behind the stadium there in Leezers Park. So what's your thoughts on it, Keg, for... First of all, we'll talk about potentially building a new stadium before we talk about extending it.
Mm.
Oh, Geordie Revolution's saying the donation tabs aren't working. Try three times. Should be.
Don't know why
that's not working, but I appreciate you trying, Geordie Revolution. Let me just have a quick look.
Is that on the QR code, is it?
I don't know if he's on. Are you on about the QR code or are you on about the just Super Chat? Don't know what you're on about, but if it's a Super Chat, I don't know where that is on there, actually. Super Chat should be when you click the chat in the live chat, there's a $ to the right of the speech. Where you can hit it on there.
QR code's not working.
Maybe because it's got streaming on over above it. Or if you're on about the QR code, we can get that sort of. But you can see the website below, anyways. But we'll swap that over for next week.
Yeah.
Shout out to Eddie Wolf, anyways, who's became a member of the channel as well. We do monthly giveaways on the channel. So stay tuned for this month's giveaway. Super Chat, he's on about, not the QR code, that's on his phone. Right, if you go into the chat, the live chat that you are now to the right, there should be a $ should be a click on that to do a Super Chat. Thanks very much, mate. So I made my thoughts on the old arena site yesterday, Keg, and make sure you just put yours in the comments. What do you think about possibly relocating to the banks of the River Tyne? There, you can see the $ there on your chat would be working lovely.
I'm not in favor of it. I'm more in favor of staying and extending. That's my personal view of it. I just think I'm not wholeheartedly against it. That's why I've just groaned and bled.
Spotify people are like, what the hell?
Sorry about that, audio listeners. Apologies if you've got headphones in, that's probably gonna be an Apple sound. Apologies for that, headphone listeners. The advantages of a new stadium is that it'll most likely be expensive and sexy. Mm. It'll be like Tottenham Stadium. Any new sort of stadium developments, modernized, looking like a spaceship, it'll be sexy and would be looking absolutely class. And obviously it would be massive, would be looking at 70, 80, 90 thousand, I'm sure. But I don't know. I just think it wasn't going to be my point, but it is a good point. Remember how skint Tottenham were?
Mm.
And also Everton are proper right up shit's creek. Like they've got any money to spend because they're getting a big, sexy new stadium on the Mersey Dock there.
Right.
That's one thing I think I'd rather spend the money on the club than the stadium. But also currently St. James's Park, it's got over 100 years worth of history, and it's a fine stadium. It is one of the better stadiums in the UK, like outside of like the even including like the new ones, even like your Etihad, your Emirates, like your Tottenham stadiums. Like it's fine. What it does need is a lick of paint, and it does need modernizing. It is a little bit old fashioned inside in the concourse and stuff. It does need a lot of work done to it, but I think all of that work, if you've got it looking proper, fresh, spick and span, inside like the actual stadium, in the concourses, as well as extending it by 10, 15, 20,000, it would be amazing. So that's my preferred standpoint. I would rather stay and extend and get it looking big and sexy, as opposed to building a big new stadium that would probably cost close to, if not more than a billion quid, and have absolutely no money for transfers.
Well, the thing is that obviously FFP doesn't count for infrastructure, so you can't spend as much as you want on a new stadium. So obviously we've got Saudi money, which is an unlimited pot, so that it wouldn't really hit our transfers.
They might look at it a different way. I know it's an unlimited pot, and like you say, they've got mad money, but if they did spend that amount of money, maybe they would think, because they've got other investments. It's not like we're their only
Small investment.
Yeah, exactly. like they've got a lot of fingers in a lot of pies. There's a lot of money, a lot of investment going into different companies and businesses and side projects and whatever that they've got going on. So it's not like Newcastle United is the be-all and end-all of PIF. Like, they've got a lot of work.
Yeah.
So if they spent like £1 billion on a new stadium, as well as probably a couple of £1 billion on that other project, would they really want to put more money in? Like, say if we had like a summer transfer window where we could spend, FFP aside, if we could spend, say, 500 million, would they want to give away that as well?
I think that they'll be pushing it more. I think we know that the English owners, Imana Stevie, the based ones, and Mirda Gudusi are very much in favour of that result, moving stadium. Like, they want to be at St. James Park. They want the history here. Yeah,
that's fair.
They're obviously looking at expanding it. You know, can we move it a little bit? But it's all the problems. The grade one listed buildings on the east stand and the Gallagher Metro Station and the links to the hospital and everything else.
If they can't do all that, if it is literally like, not possible, council deny it, whatever, then fair enough, because I think it does need it doesn't need extended, because it's 52,000, which is still one of the bigger stadiums in the Premier League. But because of the popularity and the demand for tickets, we do need to extend this so more people can get in. And again, like, bums in seats is a massive profit for the club. Like, the more people you can get in, the better. So,
because we're losing millions, man. Every match day, we're losing millions. Yeah. The amount of people that are waiting for tickets.
I get that. So, yeah. But as long as it's the last resort and they do absolutely everything that they can not to move and to extend, then fair enough. Like, but if it does come down to the last resort and they have to move, then all right, I can get on board with that. I'm not going to be mad.
Yeah, I mean, is there any preference to you? Would you prefer the arena site on the banks, or would you prefer Leezers right next to where it is now?
Yeah, I think Leezers would probably be my preference, because it's a good location, like, not moving it too far away. Like, that's one of the best things about Newcastle United and St. James's Park, is that it's a city centre stadium. That's what everyone else says. Like, away fans, like, love the location. Like, it's right next to metros and bus stations, and like, it's a walking distance from the bars, like the town centre. Like, having it out by like Redriff is a bit off the beaten track. It's not a million miles away. So it's not the worst thing in the world.
Not far from central still.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, it's not the worst thing in the world. But no, I think where it is right now is perfect. Really, yeah, I wouldn't really want to move from there, because I think there's been other talks in the past, like the old HMRC building in Long Benton. Like, that is off the beaten track. That's miles away.
The thing with these two possible sites they're looking at is well, they've obviously mentioned before, it's critical we stay in the city centre for those reasons you just said, because if you start building it in bloody Kingston Park or Gosforth or bloody Killingworth, Crampton, Benton, wherever you want, you know what I mean? That's a bit crap, because then that takes away the whole best thing about the match day is, you know, coming to Pumphrey's, coming to the big market, you know, in all the bars in town, all the Scran, afterwards, before the Metro links, everything perfect, isn't it? So you don't want to put it in the middle of Wales End. That's where we've got to stay. Let's see what yous are saying regarding the new stadium. Interested to hear your thoughts. If we do get a new stadium, hope it doesn't ruin our hostile atmosphere. Too much hospitality like City and Arsenal.
Good point. Very good point. I think it's the running track that kind of fucks up West Ham.
That's the worst. It's the worst West Ham. Yeah. We beat Spurs. Spurs is great.
I never went to Upton Park, and I'd never been to the London Stadium. So personally, I can't say, but I have heard that the running track, like, terrible. Being so far away from the stadium does ruin it. Because Upton Park was a proper up-close stadium, like, right next to the pitch. So apparently Upton Park was a mint atmosphere, like
Green
a
Street.
Really, really good stadium to be at. And the London Stadium's just hard to create an atmosphere. And like, that is something that I don't want. And you would imagine if we did spend a lot of money, then businesses and other people. Like, I think there would be a lot of corporate seats. Like,
I would.
I think
that's what the club will need for now.
That's another point, though. Like, if we did extend it by 20,000, if we've got like a big new stadium that's what, 72,000, 20,000 more than what it is now, that probably would be another like 20,000-25,000 corporate seats.
Yeah. Because
there'll be more like businesses and stuff. So would it really benefit the fans, like the paying ticket match day fans? Like, it's all part of the business. It's all money making, and it probably would make them a profit, and they would know that if it, like, they got big sponsorship deals and they were given corporate tickets. Like, in the long run, it probably would benefit them, but it doesn't benefit the fans. And that's kind of like the whole point. You want more bums in seats, and you want more people paying to go to the games. You want people to buy the tickets instead of just having these dickheads just here for a weekend, just going
on the Prosecco and shrimp and that.
So, I don't, that's more why, like, I'd rather stay at St. James's Park. Like, I think that's definitely my preference, 100%.
Chris, with a different view, we need to move with the times. New stadium and training facilities alongside each other would be amazing. Also, we can stay at St. James's while it's getting built. I hear that. I do hear that as well. And it would be nice to have what Manchester City have got, that whole Etihad campus where they've got the under-21s training over there, the women's playing there. I mean, that's
unbelievable. But where would we do that?
Exactly.
That would be a different altogether. Like, I don't think there's anywhere in Newcastle that we could accommodate that.
Pretty much the arena site is close, to be fair, because obviously the arena's going to move as well. That's getting knocked down.
Yeah, that's gone.
So there is enough to maybe do it there, maybe a bit of a push with all the facilities on it as well. Aaron, split on it. I understand it, because a new stadium opens up new avenues, more revenue, music tours, etc. So more money to put towards new players. But location history for St. James is perfect.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what you like, though, Keg, is that what came out in that article was the reason they want a new fancy stadium is so they can get new events at the stadium and in the city, like the NFL.
Oh,
so you like a bit of that,
that would never happen. That's too much investment with London and Tottenham for that.
Because they've got the deal with them, haven't they?
Yeah, there's never been an NFL game in the US, so guaranteed.
Be a long time, maybe. What else people are saying then? Sound on the new stadium, as long as fans still have to hike up to level 7 in the new one. Bonjour.
You're getting a level 8 in the new stadium.
I know. I don't like hiking. I don't want to go any higher.
All the way around. Jesus. Like a fishbowl of level 8 in each hand.
Love the podcast and we keep it up. Cheers, mate. Scott. Appreciate that. Right then. Let's finish off with the topic of Joe Linton, who was on the verge of signing a new contract. We'll actually quickly touch on Chelsea as well. Just give our predictions before the main preview drops on Friday, as usual. But Joe Linton, Keg, apparently about to sign a 4-year deal on 120 grand a week, making him one of the highest earners in black and white. About time, eh? Deserves it. Get it done.
It does. I think this is where, like, a Dan Ashworth or whoever sort of deals with contract
negotiations. Stapley's doing it now because Ashworth left. Like,
yeah, I think Stapley's just kind of throwing the bag at it, really. Like, I don't hate, like, I want Julian to stay, and if that's the price of it, then you've got to pay it. But, like, isn't he on, like, 40 now?
Apparently 40, 50, aren't he? He's been on for years.
Yeah, that's a bit of a mad one for me. Like,
but you've got people are saying Matt Target's on 100 grand a week. Surely not. Surely he's not. But then when you think about it, you know, is this the day and age?
It could be.
The amount of crap that's on big wages, like, up and down the Premier League.
And also, like Matt Target was good when we brought him in. Like,
he's 100 grand good, though.
Nah, probably not. But, so, like, yeah, I just think, like you say, it's moving with the times. Like, it's probably the price. So, like I'm old school. I still remember when, like, 100 grand a week was, like, I think, I remember, like, John Terry was on, like, 120 grand a week.
And that would have been 15 years ago. You've got to think now, man.
Yeah.
Even if Joe Linton got to move to Spurs, man, he'd be on 200 grand a week easily.
Yeah,
easily. And if we want to be amongst the top four, top six.
I get it, and it's moving with the times, and you want to keep your best players around, and Joe Linton absolutely has a place in this team, no matter what happens with the team in the next 2 or 3 years. I just think that negotiations could potentially have been a bit better to maybe get it just below or round about the 100 grand mark, because he's only on about 40 now. Like, it's more than double. Like, it's about, what, I don't know, 70%, something like that. I don't know what percentage it is, but it's obviously more than double. Like, if you could get to sort of between 80 and 100, then fair enough. But going bang 120, like, fucking hell.
Maybe that's why it took so long, though. Maybe we've been saying 80, 19, it took so long, and it's been months since negotiations.
Nah, as long as he stays and it's not 200 grand, then whatever.
Pivotal to get him signed up for me. Like,
definitely.
He deserves it. One of our best players. Owen was on 125 grand a week, was he not? Says Tony T.
I mean, he probably was, but Owen was a Ballon d'Or winner. and he came from Real Madrid. It's a little bit of a difference.
But Joe Linton's future Ballon d'Or winner, man.
I know Owen was a shithouse now, but at the time, it was like, fucking hell, that Michael Owen.
Someone asked a question, actually, I forgot to say about this, because we talked about, just reminding us there, because Michael Owen could be coming back to Newcastle this summer. Thanks for you not of the first team.
Where?
But the Over 35 Cup.
Oh,
inaugural. Man. Over 35 World Cups, might be playing Newcastle this summer. We're the front runners for that. He's saying there, who would you put in the England squad if Owen played? He'd get so much grief from the Toon fans. So obviously, Owen is meant to be included, isn't he, in this team?
I would go that one.
Yeah, you've got that one. That team. I'm down just to see Ronaldinho, mate. I'd
say the OAPs. Bring the Masters.
Well, that's the whole point.
Bring the Masters back.
This is this company that's behind this project. They've basically said, like, well, you get the Masters in golf and cricket and all these other sports, we're going to do it for football. So that's what they've done. And that's why they're setting up this Over 35s World Cup. And Newcastle, they've had positive talks with the company, with the council and everything else. And we are front runners. So the teams at the minute, you're asking about the England one there.
Seems a bit of
David
a
James, Rio Ferdinand, Ashley Cole, Joe Cole, Lampard, Steve McManaman, captain, Robbie Fowler and Mike Lone so far.
McManaman's the captain. And you got fucking Rio Ferdinand and Frank Lampard in there.
That's weird, dude. But the Brazil team, man, I'm going just for Brazil, me. Roberto Carlos. Kaká. Oh. Ronaldinho. Rivaldo. Fat Ronaldo better be there as well, by the way. He's my hero growing up.
Like, Emerson was a good player, but all them other ones are literally
are they just
like
putting Cafu next to the worst player on the team, yeah. Because
I literally think they probably are. Right? Cafu is arguably the best right back in world history, and Roberto Carlos is probably the best left back in world history.
Yeah,
and you got Ronaldinho, who's one of the greatest all time players. Kaká was amazing, and Rivaldo. Shit, that's a team.
I think Brazil's winning that over 35 World Cup. Like, you got Henri for France, Crespo for Argentina, Spain. Look now, Puyol, David Villa. Totti for Italy.
That's the same team that won the bloody 2012 Euros.
It is, aye. Roll it back. So Michael Owen back in the tune this summer. That should be interesting.
That would be good, aye.
Aye.
I might get a ticket for that one.
Oh,
especially if we played Brazil.
Apparently they're going to make it very affordable as well. Going to be two tickets.
Well, it should be, to be fair.
It should be, because it's only going to be 70 minutes as well, not 90. 35, you know what I mean?
I'm not surprised.
I might get a game at this point.
Especially if Fat Ronaldo's playing bloody hell.
Aye, yeah.
You have 2 minutes and need the oxygen mask.
Come on, the punch out. Right then, we'll round off very quickly with the Chelsea preview. Obviously, you do previews every Friday on the channel after Eddie Howe's press conference, so have a look at that for an in-depth one. But just quickly, from your point of view, Keg, we've got to wait until Monday night for this game. No weekend. It's a weekend of relaxation, though. You don't have to work. Not bad. You should be doing a Monday night.
Yeah.
That's Stamford Bridge. We just mentioned Chelsea are 11th, we're in 8th. They've been really bad lately, to be fair. Really bad, haven't they?
Been bad for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm kind of low-key, and not even low-key, high-key, enjoying like Chelsea's meltdown, like, because
it's amazing.
I know, like, it's a little bit hypocritical because of like takeovers and money and blah blah blah, but Chelsea were that team in like the 2003-2004 time with Mourinho and Abramovich. Like, fucking hated them.
I've
never really liked them until just sort of like the last couple of years that they haven't really been that great. I think probably when Mourinho came back for a second bite at it, like, I sort of kind of like Chelsea a little bit, and like we're connection with Louis and whatnot down at Chelsea. So
yeah.
I don't hate Chelsea, but now like they're just splashing money. They spent like £1 billion on transfers and not even top 10.
That's mental when you think about it, isn't it?
Class,
that much
it.
Money, you're not even
absolutely
top 10. You've got wolves above you.
That's
unbelievable.
I really, really enjoy it.
But we need to go there and get the win, man. Or at least get a draw would be an Irish result. But I think with Chelsea's...
A way I would take a draw.
Yeah, on a Monday night in London.
I think we can beat them because like the cup game, we should have beat them.
Fucking one.
We should have beat them.
One up the minute ago, man.
Although we were pretty shit. Chelsea were the better team on the day.
Oh, we didn't but Wilson's going out.
Granted, the better team won on the day on penalties.
Was it penalties or did it go penalties? Penalties. I was right there behind the goal. It was awful.
Yeah. Aye. But no, I think if we turn up and play similar to how we did against Wolves, we don't even need to be that good. I think we can get a draw, which, like, say, away at Stamford Bridge. Like, they're still a good team. As much as I'm ripping them in that 11th in the league, like, that's still a decent team.
Yeah.
Like, you don't take them lightly. It's still Chelsea Football Club.
Actually,
like, they're a big team. It's got a billion-pound squad. So, yeah, don't take them lightly. Go there, play your hardest, play them as if they're City or Liverpool, and try and get the 3 points. Do everything you can for 3 points. But if you come away with one, that's at it.
They've actually turned up a lot more in teams that are in the top four, top six. No top four teams beaten this season. They've drew against City, drew against Liverpool and that. So that they've picked up some good results against them. They've turned up more against them. Obviously, we're not quite there yet. But you think we can go there, play our game, play like we did against Wolves, I think we'll get the win.
Yeah, we'll absolutely. Yeah, I think that's what we should be aiming for.
Villa,
hopefully building on this Wolves thing. Hopefully it doesn't end up like Villa, that we're back, it's Eddie Howe's football, and then we'll lose a few games. Hopefully this is the start of it. And I think an away win at Chelsea especially, that's what's going to be this is it, fucking get in.
I'm going to go 2-1 win.
Nice. That would be my optimistic prediction.
I play fancy 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1 for me. That's what me heart is telling us, or is it the other way around? Maybe it's me head's telling us 1-1, me heart's telling us a 2-1 win.
Let me know in the comments below what you think the score will be. Thank you so much, everyone that has joined us on our live podcast. Remember, every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. we are live on YouTube. Thanks again to the audio listeners. You can catch us on Spotify, Google, Apple Podcast, all of those podcast platforms. And if you're watching this back, drop your comments below and let us know how you've enjoyed the podcast and your thoughts on everything we've talked about, the topics at hand.
And apologies for the outbursts before, if I did
that.
Yeah, drums.
Subscribe to the channel, people. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you on the next one.